T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We need a ruling. We need a ruling right now. Sports polygamy, acceptable or unacceptable? Because we've been seeing some rampant use of your divided loyalties. And I want to make sure that we are doing this above board. Hello, everybody. Welcome in to Straight Up with Sturge on a Wednesday. Willie P in for Sturge again, along with Diesel. Telephone number, chance for you to play, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Also on the text line, it's 71307. Start your message with ESPN and be involved with the program in that way. Jim Zonke from the Panthers Radio Network will join us coming up in about 15 minutes to talk about the second preseason game for the Panthers against the Bilthers. Buffalo Bills are doing joint practices right now in Spartanburg with Carolina. They will meet on the field at Bank of America Stadium on Friday, and we'll get Jim's thoughts on Carolina after one preseason game is in the books. We're asking the question about sports polygamy. Very much doing that correctly, and I tell you what, we've already had some real huge reaction. This was part of a couple of different facets here, D's, that I was inspired to put this in at least our front mirror here. Somebody tweeted me the other day. This is at Steve Schley, or at Steve underscore Schley. He says, "I'm from Ohio, grew up in North Carolina, live in South Carolina. I root for the Gamecocks. I cheer for the Tar Heels. I live and die with the Buckeyes. I've been forced into decisions about going back and forth between teams way too often. In the 95 World Series, I had the Indians against the Braves. I had to learn early if I'm going to cheer for multiple teams, there needs to be a pecking order." On August 31st, by the way, because he's a Tar Heels and a Gamecocks fan, he says, hashtag go Heels. And of course, as the saying says, I believe he chose poorly. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a largely mobile household when it comes to moving a lot as a child. I born in New York, then moved to the Washington, D.C. area as a very little child, then also had a 3.5-year stint in Singapore, back to Virginia, college in the Midwest, and lived a bunch of different places as part of my time in sports broadcasting. But never have I really gone to the polygamy fashion. The only thing that was probably the closest thing was when I was a kid trying to divide my NFL loyalties, because when I lived in the D.C. area, this was a time before the NFL Sunday Ticket was really prevalent, and literally all you got in that area was Redskins or nothing. So that was really all the football you were exposed to. So while I watched the Redskins and had a vested interest in their success as a child, I never really got to the level of polygamy. In fact, I went to a game where the Redskins are playing the team that I chose growing up to root for, and actually wore the visiting apparel in that stadium, and they ended up winning. So as a result of that, I was very, very much happy. The poll results here, very, very one-sided, I should say. 71% of you voting at ESPN Upstate says sports polygamy, supporting more than one team in the same league or sport, unacceptable. From our friend Kevin Noon, of course, who is the publisher, writer for the Ohio State Buckeyes, ironically, Ohio State Buckeyes Rivals.com network. He says, heck no, I can accept if you like an AL and an NL team in baseball, but these people who like two college football teams in the same league need to get out of here, so to speak.
Isn't cheering for the SEC basically saying that you are an equal parts fan of every team in the league?
See, I don't ever subscribe to that.
Not you. Not you. I'm talking about the weirdos out there who will chant SEC.
You know, I understand trying to have conference pride and things of that nature, especially when it comes to bowl season. But, like, for example, if I was a South Carolina fan and I saw Florida getting curb stomped in a bowl game, I'd be cheering that louder than anything in the world. Of course, if I saw Florida getting curb stomped in anything, I'd probably be cheering a lot louder than anybody anyway. If I was a Clemson fan, I would not ever want to cheer for Florida State. Like, come on. Like why would you want to see Florida State have any success if you were a Clemson fan? You'd want to see them die. you want to see Willie Taggart go up in the kind of flames that he deserves to go up in if you are a Clemson fan. And I think that's probably what's going to end up happening for him when he's at Florida State. This is from Juan, who tweets us at ESPN Upstate. And, of course, you can call us at 844-GSP-ESPN. If you are a sports polygamist, I want you to defend your position because you're outnumbered right now, at least on our social media and the reactions that we have. Juan says, I think AL-NL split fans are pushing the boundary. It's still two Major League Baseball teams. What do you do if your teams play in the Fall Classic? Horrible times we live in. That, again, speaks to the point that our friend Steve did earlier with the Indians and the Braves. Kevin says he's a fan of the NL of an NL team, and I guess if I have an AL team that I find to be somewhat okay, but it's not the case where I'd be torn with my loyalties if they were to meet at any point. So there's at least that. I feel like I don't want to even go so far as to say it's acceptable. I would say it's acceptable if people know that you have one over the other. But I don't know if I could even subscribe to something like two college football teams in the same league.
Absolutely not.
That's awful. That's
absolutely not.
What about somebody who would be, say, a South Carolina fan and an Ohio State fan? Would you say that's acceptable?
No. It's completely unacceptable regardless to be an Ohio State fan.
Oh, of course. Of course. I feel like that's a front runner type mentality.
I feel like being a South Carolina fan, you're born that way.
Yeah.
But a lot of people choose to be Ohio State fans.
My buddy Jason tweets me at Willie P style. Growing up with parents in two different cities has left me supporting two baseball teams that are both in the National League, though I do generally favor one. I think I'm pretty sure he is a... I think he's a Miami Marlins fan, but also a...
I'm sorry.
Well, he was from Miami. Part of his family was in Miami, and the other part of his family was in the D.C. area. So maybe he's Nationals and Marlins, which would be the same division. That would be bad. I personally don't think that is acceptable, personally. Kevin says, I'm a Dodger fan, but live closer to Anaheim Stadium, so saw just as many Angels games as I did Dodgers games. See, I don't know if you can have them in the same city either. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that idea either. You can't have them in the same city.
If you're a hardcore enough fan, you shouldn't even want to be in that other team's stadium unless your team was playing there.
The real question I want to know is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier this month, is that if you are a Clemson fan and you see somebody in Garnet of the opposite sex, does that disqualify them for you?
Yes.
If you are in Garnet...
It absolutely does.
If you're in Garnet and you see somebody of the opposite sex and they're wearing a tiger paw, is that akin to basically having a mouth that doesn't have teeth?
Do you
Not saying that is an identifier of Clemson. I'm just giving you a...
Do you remember ESPN's Never Graduate
giving
commercials?
You a corollary. Yes.
There was a commercial where it was two people seemed to be on a date, seemed to be having a nice time. They were driving somewhere to dinner, and they started talking and, you know, figuring out personal questions. And they asked, I think the guy asked where the girl was from. She said, Michigan, born and raised, go blue. And he opens up the car and jumps, tucks and rolls out of a moving car. And he just goes, go Buckeyes, as she drives away. It's great.
I do remember that commercial. I don't know if I could ever look at somebody the same way if – and again, this is just me personally, just because I've pretty much divorced myself from all fandom when it comes to that, other than a couple of very specific things that I know will never come up on this radio station because it involves stuff that we don't necessarily talk about, like hockey and Premier League soccer. Like, that's where I get my fandom in, so to speak. But I do believe that if you do bleed very, very strongly for a team, it would be very, very difficult to have to deal with that from a opposition perspective.
I even came up with an idea for a dating app once based on your fan
fandoms,
but it already exists.
I say, Match.com basically does that with baseball.
Yeah, there was another one that was...
Don't ask me how I know that.
There was another one that was built specifically on your sports fandom.
Oh, it is.
So you could say, I'm an NFL fan, and you could date all NFL fans.
Interesting.
Or you could say, I'm a Panthers fan. I only want to date Panthers fans. I won't date Falcons fans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're already there because you know you're a sports fan.
Yeah.
But you can exclude fans of certain teams.
I want to live in a world, this is from Juan, I want to live in a world where someone has half their room with Mets memorabilia and the other half, and I wouldn't want to live in a world where someone has half their room with Mets memorabilia and the other half in Yankees merchandise. The thought of that makes me shudder. Hashtag go Sox. Well, that's a terrible decision.
How does he spell that? S-W-A-X?
S-A-W-X is how he spells Sox.
That's Sox.
Talking earlier on the program about the XFL college football debate. This is from Clay. He says, technically, everything is an assumption at this point, talking about your assumption that players would potentially go to the XFL over college football, which, again, is, in my mind, something that is a genuine threat, especially if that league gets backing from the National Football League.
Sure, sure. Why, again, why would some players not choose to go make money? There are plenty of situations where very good athletes would choose the XFL and the money over going to college ball and playing for free.
I mean, we're starting to see players.
I'm not saying that it's going to demolish it and blow it up in 1 year. I'm saying it's got the potential to erode college football in some pretty substantial ways.
We're seeing players now in basketball legitimately give up the opportunity to play at college. There was a guy, I guess, who was I forget his name, a commit to Syracuse, which we all could basically agree is an actual basketball school, as opposed to some of these other places that are boasting those type of talents. And he is actually gonna just take the year off, train, and then enter in the NBA draft because he thinks that, again, going to college is too much of a risk for him and his potential earning capabilities. So from that perspective, you certainly see that this could be something that is in the offing.
Sure. Right now, college basketball is still the best way to get noticed to get into the NBA. Mm-hmm. However, it may not always be. And if in this scenario where the XFL remains viable long enough and the money comes, then sure, it is very plausible and in many situations likely that some of the best talent who would have gone to college chooses not to go make money immediately, especially knowing that it could be a direct path into the NFL.
Will tweets us at ESPN Upstate, to be clear, I'm allowed to like my team and the team currently playing my team's rival, right? I would say that's acceptable, yes. I would say that's certainly...
That is micro-fandom.
That is micro-fandom.
Micro-fandom.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're only a fan for a very short amount of time.
Yes.
Of that team playing your rivals.
Micro fandom.
It's micro fandom.
That's how that works. You think you just coined a new term there.
I'm putting it on Twitter right now.
Micro fandom. It's not quite like micro spandex. 844-GSP ESPN is how you get in touch with us. 71307 on the text line. Start your message with ESPN and be a part of the program that way. We'll talk to Jim Zocchi, Panthers radio analyst. He has called every Carolina Panthers game since their inception. We'll see how they look, take their temperature through one preseason game and join practices with the Buffalo Bills in Spartanburg. That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, on the Radio.com app. It's now time to go back out to our guest line, and we are joined by Panthers radio analyst Jim Zunke, who joins us from the Panthers Radio Network. As Carolina, one preseason game in the books, taking on the Buffalo Bills this week, and not just taking them on the field, taking them on the practice field as well. Jim, I've been calling them this week, Jim, the Panthers and the Bilthers, because there's certainly some familiarity that I know it hasn't bred contempt yet, but that does feel almost kind of a copycat nature to the Bills to our north.
Well, you know, their general manager and their head coach come from here, and good guys. Sean McDermott, the coach, and Brandon Bean, who is the assistant GM here, is the general manager up there. And, of course, when you have that, you're going to have some player personnel moving up that way, too, and about five players or so that are currently there, and a bunch more that's come rolling through over the past 2 years or so. But, yeah, a lot of familiarity as these teams practice together this week, which was good because it's easy coordination between the two coaching staffs getting through these 2 days of practices down in Spartanburg.
It's obvious to me that we saw a lot in the opening game to be encouraged by, especially with some of the defensive pieces. I think we saw the truth in Brian Burns and obviously some other offensive pieces that stood out. What was your biggest takeaway from the opening week of play when the Panthers were up in Chicago?
Yeah, and like you said, it was like no starters and a lot of the veteran backups that didn't even play. So it was all about the young players. And I think, you know, the thing that stood out was that first look at, they almost went exclusively 3-4 defense. That's what they're working on. Of course, during the regular season, they'll probably mix it up more and try to be more unpredictable, but they're trying to work on that 3-4 look right now. And you saw, again, stats are a little bit different preseason, but five quarterback sacks, two by Burns, two by Marquise Haynes, and then one more in the fifth one in the fourth quarter. But it was just good to see that pressure out there. And that it worked the way, you know, technically they wanted it to, even though it was backups against backups out there. And like you said, Burns is so quick. He had two sacks, only played 10 snaps, and only six of those were passing snaps. So just you could see just, again, he's not going to get 88 sacks this year, but I mean, you could see that potential of where he could really get after the quarterback.
I know that we talked about Holyfield last week, having a fumble. That wasn't good for a guy who needs really a little bit of help to be part of this roster. But do you see at least a role for him possibly develop? Or do you think that, like you said last week, his potential on this roster could be an uphill battle to at least make it?
I think so, because this week we'll see Jordan Scarlett, and we'll see. I mean, you draft a guy in the fifth round out of Florida. And not that you just put draft picks on and don't go undrafted player. You can put your best players out there. But I think they like the potential of what Scarlett's going to bring now that he's healthy and see him out there. So that'll be an interesting battle there. I remember last preseason, Elijah Hood, the former Tar Heel, he ended up getting hurt in that fourth preseason game. But he was never going to make the roster. He was going to be a practice squad guy. And you know, with Holyfield, I think you might have a better chance of sneaking him onto the practice squad than you would a fifth-round draft choice. Because a lot of times people have those evaluations. They think, well, that's a pretty good piece of running back that might be on a practice squad that someone could claim for their active roster. So time will tell over these next couple of weeks, but I would still kind of hold to the fact that Holyfield might be at this point more of a practice squad than a 53-man guy. But we'll see what Scarlett can do. It'll be exciting to see once he gets on the field against Buffalo.
Jim Zunke, who's actually handling the play-by-play during the preseason, of course, with Mick Mixon moving over to TV. I really liked what I saw from Marquise Haynes. I think, you know, yep. When you think about his position, that's obviously a crowded one, that outside linebacker kind of hybrid DN that they're not only running Burns at, but Addison and Irvin and Christian Miller. That's a crowded room if there's any on this team, Jim, and Haynes certainly had more than a couple of flashes against Chicago.
Yeah, it fits him better, the 3-4. I mean, there's, you know, like with the drafting purposefully of Burns, Marquise Haynes has that same body type of a longer, leaner, not the traditional super heavy guy that would kind of get that push down low back in, you know, to traditional 4-3 defensive looks there. So they've got a number of guys like Bruce Irvin that they brought in and some others that can be a stand-up edge linebacker in a 3-4, and then some that can put their hand in the dirt and be a defensive end in the 4-3. And while Haynes can do both, I think he's better off in that 3-4 look, and especially if he could drop back into pass coverage at times. Those are the kind of things that are going to get him on the football field, because I know with Burns, they really saw that potential that he could also drop back into pass coverage and not just be a one-dimensional go after the quarterback guy.
Not to at least stick again with another Georgia guy, but a guy who really stood out to me, not just with the potential for some special teams reps, but obviously at the wide receiver position, is Terry Godwin. I think he's going to make somebody's decision in that front office very, very hard when it comes to 51, 52, 53 on that active roster.
Yeah, but players like him, and then they made that move. Actually, it was a move where they got rid of Hood the first day of training camp, and they brought in Jaden Mickens. You know, those kind of players are going to be battling for what could be the last receiver/special team spot, that fifth or sixth receiver, depending on how many the key ability to be five or six, and then a returner. But again, you know, late draft pick, a seventh rounder, might be able to get him onto the practice squad if he doesn't make the 53. So it's kind of what you want to do sometimes, is let these guys develop, if you can, a little bit longer. So might be more that he is a guy they look at for the practice squad, if you can sneak him on there. But if not, could earn a spot, as you said, as a return guy. Because remember, he used to have Demir Byrd, and of course he was always electrifying, but he would get hurt fairly easily the two seasons he was here out of South Carolina. But now you got Godwin, you got Mickens, you've got a couple of smallish receivers with speed that you don't have to put, you know, Christian McCaffrey or DJ Moore, you know, you're starting receivers and running backs out there in those situations. You know, Curtis Samuel, I mean, these guys have all done returns at some point. It'd be nice to, like, kind of not give them that wear and tear and let one guy handle the special teams.
Jim, I'm glad you mentioned the Gamecock, because it makes me triggers my mind, because I wanted to ask you about Dennis Daly. What have you noticed from him, not just in camp, but over the first couple of weeks?
They like him. I mean, just the size, first of all, but just really intelligent, doing everything they're asking of him so far. And again, a draft pick. So, I mean, this is a guy that's going to have an opportunity to stick on the 53-man roster. They like players that are versatile, that can play two, three different positions on the offensive line. I think they view Daly as being that. That's why they drafted him. It fits that mode of what they're looking at along the offensive line. But, yeah, great kid. We talked to him, interviewed him down at Spartanburg, and kind of kid you want to root for. And I think has a really good chance of being on that 53 once we get to the final cuts.
Jim Zoki, Panthers radio analyst, joining us here on ESPN Upstate as we get you ready for Friday night, Carolina taking on Buffalo on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1. And when we see the Panthers take the field, will we see any Cam Newton, or will it be more of the backups being showcased?
You know, they haven't really said yet. I think, you know, we'll see some starters for sure. That we didn't see any in the last game, so we'll see some starters out there. I talked to Marty Herney after practice yesterday, and he kind of threw out like 10, 15 snaps for starters. He didn't mention Cam in particular. So wouldn't surprise me, like you saw last week, the Bears trotted out Mitchell Trubisky, ended up handing off three times. Wouldn't surprise me if they put out Cam Newton and do some safe stuff like that, where he hands off, maybe throws a couple shorter passes, doesn't try to do anything with a big seven-step drop, just to go through the routine of playing, getting him out there, putting him in fairly safe situations, just to get a little timing down, because we know they don't play in the third game. Although there are teams that don't play the starters all four games, like the Rams are known to do that these days. But I would say with Cam coming off the shoulder, some new players out there, you probably want to get a little bit of timing, just a little bit of game experience before that first game. So just a guess, I think he'll probably get out there and play a series or so out there.
You know, most of these teams, Jim, they only keep two quarterbacks on their active roster because all those spots are so vital. Do you think that the Panthers would be inclined to keep three, given the volatility of Cam's shoulder and all that?
I think I do. I think it's a numbers game where you don't want to allocate three to that position. You know, obviously, you wouldn't be able to stick Will Greer on there, being a third-round pick. Somebody would claim him. Kyle Allen, though, I mean, I like his potential. He looked really poised, played really of the two quarterbacks better in that first preseason game. So as we sit here today, I mean, while Greer's got the longer range, you would think, with being a draft pick and a third rounder, as we sit here today, Kyle Allen looks a little bit ahead of him, just because he does have a year in the system here, most of a year anyway. So I would think, yeah, it'd be a risk to put Kyle Allen on the practice squad. I would think maybe at least for the first couple of weeks of the season, you might go three quarterbacks out there just to buy some more time to decide, you know, what to do at that position, which is unfortunate because Taylor Heinicke is also a solid younger veteran. I don't see how Heinicke could get up the depth chart ahead of those two guys, though.
I know that this was something you and I talked about when we were together up in Charlotte, but I find that the next couple of years for Christian McCaffrey are going to be utterly fascinating, because we're seeing all this chatter right now with regards to Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott, and obviously the disputes going with those respective teams. I know Carolina sees a significant future with McCaffrey, and he could possibly set some records when it comes to the running back room, because he's somebody that just provides versatility that really is unmatched by others in this league.
And there's just a handful of those guys in the league, like Kamara and Barkley and Zeke, that are really kind of that traditional, like, every down players. You see so many running backs by committee, and we're the furthest thing from that. I mean, there's just going to be so many touches of the football for McCaffrey. And while they talk about, you know, can we limit the reps, you know, how do you ever bring him off the field, basically? I mean, he's your best football player, basically. So it would be hard to, unless the game is out of hand one way or the other, to go in that direction at any point in the game. So he's going to earn it. He's going to earn that contract you're talking about. And a lot of times you want to get in front of that without, again, breaking the bank. You got two more years, this one and one more with your quarterback, Cam Newton. So you got a little bit of the Dallas dynamic of quarterback, running back, and in their case, Dallas receiver, where they're looking at what they got to do with those contracts there. And a lot of teams, and the Panthers included, are going to be in that kind of, you know, which one do you pick? Or can you get, if you wanted Cam, could you do him with a couple more years after the two? Do you want to allocate that much more money? McCaffrey, again, is really healthy. He's only 23 years old. Should have a lot of tread left on that tire, even when his contract expires. Keeps himself in great shape. So it'll be interesting to see how Marty Herney and those guys handle that.
Is Gano good to go for Friday?
He won't play. I think that one will be another Joey Sly, the former Virginia Tech kicker. The plan, according to Coach Rivera, was all along to do that these first two games. You know, Graham got shut down the last four games with a knee injury last year, and his knee is fine. He's healthy. But just, you know, again, the guy who's been in the league 10 years doesn't need to make all these kicks in July and August out there. I mean, he's a guy that gets himself ready, and he'll peak just in time for that first game. But, yeah, health-wise, regular season, he's good to go. They just like to, again, like you don't want to with a quarterback and some key positions, don't want to wear your kicker out more than you have to. So Gano will be good. And yeah, proud of Joey Sly with what he's doing. He may be kicking his way into somebody else's roster this year, because you're not going to keep three quarterbacks and two kickers. I know that. So it'll be interesting to see when the final cuts come if they can sneak him on the practice squad. But there's teams like Chicago we saw last week and a number of other teams that really need a kicker, and he'd be a good candidate for somebody.
I know that this is something, again, I'll get you out of here on this. You know, with I made fun of the fact that, you know, they're calling the Bills the Bilthers, but the one that makes me kind of hurt slash feel a little salty is Captain Munderland being on the other sideline there. That's the one to me that I think he really deserved to be on a roster where he can contribute, and I think that, you know, that's one that the Panthers, I'm sure, would have liked to find a spot for him that just could not with his advanced age, obviously.
Yeah, you know, 10 years in the league and two different go-arounds here with the Panthers, so we got a good number of years out of him. He did, 3 years in Minnesota. But Captain, you know, to his credit, for a guy that was drafted in the seventh round, has fought with every ounce of his smallish frame to earn a living in the NFL, and not always just as a nickel, sometimes as an outside corner there. And you hear those words over and over with when Sean McDonough was talking about him coming in. He said the same thing here, just the tenacity, the competitor, what he brings. Can be moody. I mean, is he a leader? Is he a veteran leader? I don't know. So maybe not as much as some other guys like Mike Adams was here in the past. But Captain, to his credit, has been, I think, mostly liked by his teammates and done a good job throughout his career.
Jim Zocchi, have a good call Friday night. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, Will. Thank you.
That's Jim Zocchi joining us here on ESPN Upstate. And again, he'll have the call when the Panthers and Bills square off Friday night on Classic Rock 101.1, our sister station here in the Upstate, your home for Carolina Panther football. Coming up, we'll hear a little bit from the mouth of Dabo Swinney. And also, I have a one-on-one discussion involving Clemson offensive coordinator, or co-offensive coordinator, Jeff Scott, where I ask him not only about the move of Darion Kendrick to the defense, but where he sees the potential for Clemson's most sparkling freshman, Joseph Ngata. It comes your way as we continue on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it'll be another edition of the game that sweeps the nation, Florida versus the Ohio. The most pretentious school in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
By the way, Michigan's responded to that. They put out an of with big bold letters. They want a trademark of the University of Michigan, so to speak.
But when you see the M in the middle of the of, it's just oomph.
Oomph.
Yeah. You want a trademark oomph.
Oomph, oomph, oomph. A couple more tweets on our on our big topic of the day. Do you believe that sports polygamy is acceptable or unacceptable? Would love to hear your thoughts. 844-GSP-ESPN is how you get in touch with us. 71307 is the text line number. Start your message with ESPN and then be a part of the program that way. The percentage, by the way, on the poll, 72% of you say that it is unacceptable to support more than one team in the same league or sport. This one grinds my gears a little, Diesel. This is from Gregory, who says, who is entitled Tar Heel Going to Heaven. He says, I think you can have a couple of favorite teams in pro sports. For example, before the Panthers came, I pulled for the Dolphins. Now I like both teams. When it comes to college sports, though, I should think you should stick to one school in every sport. Is he saying that it's acceptable to root for different colleges depending on the sport that they play?
Yeah, that's not you have
that's
to
garbage.
You have to support your singular
school
across all sports.
You are not an Ohio State football fan and a North Carolina basketball fan. That is garbage. No, that is absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely no acceptable. Unacceptable. From my buddy Darren, who is a TV guy down in Charleston. He says, depends on context. My dad grew up in Western North Carolina, so I grew up watching ACC hoops. He pulled for all the North Carolina teams. I legit didn't realize until fifth grade we had to pick a side. Once I went to Tennessee, the Vols became my team, but I'll still pull for North Carolina State or for University of North Carolina or App State on the side.
Unacceptable to pull for the Tar Heels. The other one, I'll give you a pass on.
I was gonna say you're okay with him being the bring any type of positivity to the App State situation. Franklin says the amount of people I know that acted all sorts of pain when South Carolina played Duke right here in the NCAA tournament was appalling to me. When Pitino was at Louisville, I very much enjoyed watching them and openly pulled for them. But when they played South Carolina, I hoped that they wiped the floor with them. So basically what people are trying to say is you can have your favorites outside of your own team, but as long as you have a clear delineation of which one is your A number one, some are saying it can be acceptable. I don't like the multi-sport college thing. That to me is garbage.
No, that is
like
major. That's a technical foul.
Like I know there are a couple people who are. I know there's one guy I know. I won't reveal his name because he's in the business. He is a South Carolina football fan and a Duke basketball fan.
What?
Like, turn in your card now, man.
What? That means you're not really a fan of either.
Turn in your card now, man. Plus, if you were a South Carolina fan when it comes to football, how in the world can you not get behind Frank Martin? Now, I can understand being a Clemson football fan and not wanting to look at basketball from the Clemson perspective. Too soon? I'm just kidding. I love Brad. I love Brad Brownell. We'll get to talk to Brad here pretty soon when we get closer and closer to the season. Speaking of Clemson, we had a chance to hear from Dabo Swinney yesterday following their situational scrimmage inside Death Valley. Did a lot more from the game planning standpoint, situationally, first downs, third downs, end of game stuff. Here's a little bit from Dabo on what he had to say about their practice yesterday.
Offensively, hit some huge plays early, ran the ball well, and then we're just okay. But, you know, again, controlled, got done what we needed to get done, and then we finished up with a lot of last play stuff. We did two different two-minute situations, a field goal to win it, touchdown to win it. I'm excited to see how they played. I thought we did have more sacks today. We had a few more tackles for loss. We did have an interception. We had a scoop score off a bad snap. Kayvon scooped one up, scored. So there were some good plays. We had a 70-yard touchdown run by Dukes. On first down. We had about a 70-yard touchdown catch by Cornell on first down. So there were big plays on both sides. But again, a big day for us to just keep growing and keep challenging them to get better. Now they got to go back. We'll study this film. They got to show that they care, you know, by taking ownership and applying it, getting better. So hopefully this next scrimmage will be a little more competitive, a little more balanced, but we'll see. So this has been a really tough couple of days.
That is Dabo Swinney following their situational scrimmage yesterday. Again, he talked about the scrimmage coming up on Thursday. They were on the practice field today but had no media availability or ability for us to watch. I had a chance after the first scrimmage to talk to Clemson co-offensive coordinator Jeff Scott, asked him not only about Joseph Ngata, the wide receiver depth, but also the move of one of his prized wide receivers to the opposite side of the football, though as he will tell you, he had very high praise for Darion Kendrick doing both in high school.
Well, you know, I recruited DK, so I had a little bit more intelligence than everybody else on our staff because I got to go watch him play and watch him practice for about 3 years. So I knew in the back of my mind that he could be an outstanding corner. But, you know, he wanted to play wide out early on. We wanted him to play wide out. And, you know, whenever it got to a situation where he could become the starter, you know, I was one of the first people to bring it up and fully support it because I think he can have a bigger impact as a starting corner than he can as a slot receiver. With as many wide outs as we play in one of our deepest positions, you know, at the end of the day, it's really, you know, about our team's success. And we've been really good here as a team and as a defense because the guys that we've had on those edges at corner. And, you know, I think it's a natural position for him. He's one of the few guys. He could have stayed with me and been an outstanding receiver. But I think he has a very, very high ceiling and will really help this team at corner, obviously fully support it.
A year ago, I asked you who – I guess, how many people could possibly catch the ball in meaningful snaps for your team? And you said about 8 or 9. That came out to be true. What is that number this year, and how do you go about utilizing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at the same number, right, in that. I would add now, I'd add Will Sweeney getting in that mix. I mean, he's very improved and really knows how to use his skill set. He's had some really good battles in one-on-ones for some of our starters and won a lot of those. But, I mean, I think all of the scholarship guys – you know, I really like the experience that we have. We have a lot of older guys that have played. And then we got a really good, that young group of Spector and Ladson and Ngata. I mean, those are very, very talented players that are going to play here and have a big impact here over the next few years. So, you know, I think we got a really good, deep group. It's just kind of how we use them. And the fact that all of them got to be ready to go out and execute the game plan. Because you never know. Guy may step down, have an injury, and the next guy's got to be able to go out there and win the game.
Is Ngata further than Ross was this time last year?
Ngata's doing excellent for him. I mean, it's very hard to say. I like to give Ross a hard time when one of those freshmen, you know, have a missed assignment. Maybe they're running the wrong route or something like that. I like to reinforce with them that, hey, you got to know what to do, like 100% of the time to play. So anytime Ladson or Ngata, which is not a whole lot, but anytime they make a mistake on an assignment, I look over there at Justin and say, how many plays did you play against Texas A&M? He says, 1. I say, okay. So you see, he ended up being our leading receiver for the whole season. But in order to go out there and be an every down player, you got to know exactly what we're doing. You got to be counted on. One missed assignment can be a pick six going the other way, and it's hard to recover when you play good teams. With that being said, Ngata, Ladson, and Spector, I think they've done a great job of really learning the offense, picking it up. And, you know, I think the fact that they were here in the spring really helped them as well.
Yeah, Spector has gotten a lot more run as well. And one other thing on Ladson, again, he's out for the next couple of weeks with a knee cleanup. They say he'll be back before the season start. But one thing also on Ngata that Dabo said, I believe it was yesterday, he said that there isn't anybody he's been around that works harder than Joseph Ngata. And that, not just as a freshman, but anyone. So that gives you just a little bit of a window into how special they think that that young man is for them. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number 71307, the text line, okay. It is the non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. Another edition of Florida versus Ohio. And let me tell you, this guy did something pretty amazing while handcuffed, but it didn't end well for him. We'll explain when we come back on ESPN Upstate. The non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. Submitted for your approval, one Steven Reynolds, 29 years old, was passed out inside a pickup truck at a gas station at 6:45 in the morning. Inside his truck, initially he was taken into custody after the truck was found to be stolen. Several deputies assisting had to leave to respond to a crash, leaving one deputy left to finish up the investigation. While that deputy was out of the vehicle gathering information, he was able to change the position of his hands to be in front of him, crawl through an opening in the patrol vehicle security partition, and then steal his police cruiser.
Whoa!
Cruiser camera footage from the stolen cruiser shows the driver going the wrong way on a highway, nearly missing several vehicles. Also shows spike strips used during pursuit and punctured at least one tire of the cruiser during the pursuit. This lasted for an insanely long time.
This guy's a legend.
After it hit multiple other vehicles. He was arraigned on charges last week, remains in jail on a bond of $50,000. He is on theft and escape charges. He made his life a lot harder than it needed to be. This was, as I told you before, a case of Florida versus Ohio. I believe you have a 100% hitting percentage on these.
So far, I'm doing really well. I'm going to say,
is this Florida or was this Ohio?
I'm going to say this is an Ohio story.
This is an Ohio story! Montgomery County, Ohio.
Keeping the streak alive.
Steven Reynolds in Montgomery County. How in the world did he take his hands... Is he double jointed, like, or did he step through his hands?
I knew a guy in high school who could keep his hands clasped together and take his hands from behind his back over his shoulders to the front.
By the way, if you, I want to tweet out this story just because I want you to see what this guy looks like. I mean, this guy, he looks like a real winner. He looks amazing. He looks amazing. He's all tatted up, and he almost kind of looks like. He looks emaciated. Like that's
well, methamphetamine's a hell of a drug.
They have that in Ohio?
Well, they got a lot of that.
Should we ask Lonzo? Do they have that? Hey, guess what, Lonzo? That's my Mark Ryan. Guess what, Lonzo? By the way, did you know that I'm from Florida? Do you know that I'm from Florida, Lonzo? Yeah. By the way, all off-air conversations are on-air conversations. Does that sound eerily similar to our afternoon co-host?
You're good, you. You're good.
I believe mine was closer than his was to me. That's kind of the way that I feel like that all went out. It is ESPN Upstate. We have you for another half hour until we get you to Phillies Cubs on the ESPN National Network. We played you some Clemson sound earlier this hour. We'll give you some South Carolina flavor to start hour number two, including a guy who is getting a lot more run on the freshman side of things from USC's perspective. It's ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.